You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
And now we have Hannah Rahn. How are you doing?
I'm good. Doing really good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty chill. I'm running nice and late for the breakfast show, which is my tradition whenever I cover it. Are you a morning person?
I have to be. We have a dog.
Yeah,
so no, true. No choice. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you have to be for the sea lions or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Are they morning people, sea lions?
No, actually. They like to sleep in quite a bit. Yeah, which is good.
Yeah, I wish I could be a sea lion. God. And they like to sleep on people's lawns as well. I feel like that's one of the fun facts. It's mostly the mums, is that right?
It's mostly the mums, yeah.
And they're running away from the dads?
Yeah, that's what we reckon they are. They haven't told us yet. But,
okay, yeah.
you haven't figured
out how to communicate with them yet?
Yeah, exactly.
That's still on the research agenda.
Yes. One time in the future we'll...
Yeah. So maybe could you do a little bit of an introduction about yourself? And about what sort of work you tend to do around pakeke and sea lions, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Ko Hannah Rahn toku ingoa. So I'm Hannah Maria, and I'm originally from Scandinavia. Mm-hmm. Have been in Dunedin for nearly a decade. Kind of ordinary story. You come for a few months and then you end up staying. And marrying a Kiwi and all that stuff.
When
I first came to the country, there was these wonderful people who were working in conservation who took me under the flippers and brought me along and to experience pakeke and help out with some of that work. And yeah, it's really interesting to live in a place where we have these urban sea lions and who, yeah, do go into people's backyards and golf courses and, yeah, create a bit of road management and stuff. It's quite special.
I find that a pretty magical thing about Otipoti, but it also comes with some quite horrific side effects of this kind of anti-sea lion thought from a lot of people who I guess just don't have any patience for any wildlife or, you know, appreciation of it, which is like a hard issue to beckon with, I think, in Aotearoa, when we're like always going on about how clean and green and beautiful everything is and how much we love our native creatures, and then sea lions in particular. It kind of makes no sense. People just hate them and people like hunt them, or people still still want to remove them from their environments and feel unsafe around them and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think we do have to give credit, though, to that a lot of that fear and anxiety kind of stems from it can be direct experiences that people have. I mean, I've had experiences where I thought, you know, if I had kids, this would kind of freak me out quite a bit. And also that the science communication, when pakeke first, and especially whakahao, so the big males, came back to the shores, the science communication that we were doing around it was, oh, they're big, they're dangerous, they'll bite you.
Yeah.
You know, so we have a whole generation, if not two generations, of people who have grown up hearing these stories about how dangerous the animals are, and now we're trying to kind of de-escalate that.
Interesting.
It does, I mean, it sits with people for a long time, and often, you know, think about the knowledge that you maybe have about pakeke. Mm-hmm. Often that will come from your friends and family.
Yeah, yeah.
Much more than other areas and newspapers and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so I think we do have to. Yes, it's horrible when we get shootings and stabbings and all that. Definitely, that's a horrible thing. But I think what we're trying to do with a research project at the moment is we're trying to actually figure out, where does that come from? Where does that fear and anxiety come from? And it is very historical.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I haven't thought of it like that, and that it reminds me of thinking about safety language. Like, safety language is often something that's weaponized by, you know, anyone who feels unsafe in any environment, and that can be what causes like aggression and divide. And you see safety language being used to divide people, and like a lot of the most hurtful kind of forms of bigotry that happen in the world use the word safety, because it's such a good and solid word where, you know, it's very easy to say, if you have kids and you feel unsafe, then why are you wrong, you know?
Yeah.
I never thought about that with sea lions.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, because, yeah, I have had one incident where I was too close to a sea lion randomly and they started yelling and then, like, stepped forward towards me and I was like, holy moly.
Yeah.
But I think luckily I'd been ingrained with this awe for them that I was, like, blessed and felt like I had caused offence, you know. I was like, oh my gosh, I offended that sea lion. I feel so mean.
No, and that's really cool, because you know, you've experienced a behaviour that could, for some people, sit with a really negative feeling, but because of the knowledge you had, you understood, oh, this is, you know, it's just, it's bluffing, basically. That's what they do often. They kind of bluff and try and make you just, like, step away.
Yeah, just dogs. Now, bringing it back to you talking about having a dog, is that, you know, all you have to have is one bad experience with a dog as a kid, and there's almost no chance of you liking them again unless you have really serious attention given to you.
Exactly.
Whereas people who grew up around dogs, obviously, don't care at all if the dog's barking. Like, if the dog's barking at me, I'm always like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cool. And actually, maybe dogs is one thing I think about with sea lions a bit as well, because people obviously walking dogs on the beach is a bit of a problem, both in terms of that escalating the conflict, but also in terms of people walking dogs are quite scared of sea lions. Sea lions are, I assume, scared of the dogs and want to fight them off and stuff as well. Could you talk a little bit about that, because I think that's one of the more contentious areas of like policy about wanting the beaches to be more safe places for everyone to walk and feel like they can, you know, enjoy it as their own space, but then also sea lions being there stopping dog walking, which is arguably a reasonably good healthy thing for society.
So we've interviewed a bit more than 350 people and surveyed and asked them about dog walking as well. So these are all people that are local to Utaputi, Catlins, even Rakiura as well. And the majority of the people that had dogs were actually walking their dogs in areas where pakeke was around.
Yeah, totally.
So it's a really big part of dog walking around here. And it's important to say that a lot of people do really good now.
Yeah,
it has
totally
changed. Even just the, you know, I'm part of a group and I'm chat with dock rangers and a lot of community members who are out there doing advocacy for pakeke. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the massive change that have been happening in the dog walking community just in the past 10 years, where people will tell each other, like, hey, there's a sea lion over there, you know, give them space, put your dog on a lead, all this stuff. But it is absolutely a risk, and that's what we have been seeing, is that the incidents where there has been dogs attacking the pakeke, it can come out really bad either end, really.
Totally.
So it is a thing that we're still working on, and a lot of people are still working on trying to navigate that space,
Cool. That's a really interesting one. And so if people want to hear more about kind of discussions around sea lions and learning about it, you're doing a talk this evening. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So yes, I'll be doing a bit of a kōrero, but I will really emphasise that what I'll be talking about and talking with people with is very much knowledge that comes from other people. So, So I'm not the sea lion expert. There's heaps of those around. I'm not really
you're
one
covering
of them.
For the sea lion expert on the radio right now.
But yeah, we'll just be chatting a bit about some of that, especially people's interactions and feelings and emotions around pakeke and how they're mixed and blended. And also that we are at this crossroads where we're starting to see a population that's expanding quite rapidly, and what we can do and think about in terms of living more sustainably in the future as well. Because the majority of Dunedinites and people around Utaputi are positive about pakeke.
Totally,
But we're also seeing an increase of encounters that aren't that great. And so how can we make sure that we don't end up in more of the harmful interactions and especially the direct killings of pakeke?
I think even just in you talking about this, and I mentioned the safety language thing, but I haven't really thought of it so much as just a social issue before, where it, I think, maybe using the language of environmental issue creates a different kind of political split that everyone's used to, maybe in the ways that we vote and stuff, like which parties and things advocate for certain things in the environment. But actually, it is a more complicated social issue, like you kind of said, where it's what your family have passed down to you.
Yeah.
And then also, even if you're, you know, people are getting better at learning about environmental issues like that, but then still more radical bad things are occurring, and that actually could be seen as, like, you know, socioeconomic pressures and people struggling to survive in environments and then suddenly feeling unsafe in their environment they're struggling to make money off, or, you know, things like that. Obviously with farmers, like down in the Catlins and things like that. But that's really cool. I haven't thought about wildlife in a way like that before.
Yeah, it's very, very interconnected. It's very surprising how people feeling dismissed by government means they're feeling dismissed in terms of greenies and all that stuff as well.
Cool.
Very coherent. Yeah.
And is there any other things that you're imagining that you would like to share with us or talk about with sustainable living amongst sea lions or for the general public and listeners to learn more about living with the wildlife?
I mean, the most important thing is to share your experiences and talk with people.
Yeah.
Because, again, we've seen how important the word of mouth and chatting with whānau and stuff is. So getting out there and experiencing them while you're keeping a respectful distance, especially for the mums and pups. But just also chatting to each other about, you know, safety, sea lions on roads, what to do about that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what's some of your favourite other wildlife in Aotearoa, apart from pakaki?
I can't really choose. I teach undergraduate students and a lot of this marine science, yep. marine species. Pakaki, I love them. They're, mm-hmm. they're not my favourite. I can't choose.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the, you know, there's the octopus, the chitons, yeah. the little snails. Yeah.
What kind of octopus have we got? I don't know much about New Zealand octopus.
Oh, so there is the big Māori octopus mm-hmm. or the Pacific octopus yeah. that is quite incredible.
Cool.
I grew up in a place where the mythology of the Kraken comes from.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah,
I also
yeah,
have
yeah.
a deep, that phobia of me that's transferred through generations,
cool.
of these kind of sea creatures. But then my biologist brain really loves them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I can imagine. They got all the tendrils and what they got. Have they got brains in them or something? Or?
They're just very smart. Doesn't make sense. Yeah, it freaks me out.
I've seen that that Octopus Teachers movie. Have you seen that?
I've seen some of it. I've mostly closed my eyes. Just, again, the childhood phobia comes out.
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really funny. It makes me think, it feels like a little Disney movie. It's really, really cute and really interesting, and he becomes good friends with the octopus. But it does feel a bit like when you're watching David Attenborough and you're kind of seeing how it's edited, and you're like, surely that wasn't actually edited like that. Like, they've totally anthropomorphized this octopus, and they're like, you know, he's going to your birthday party, and, like, he happens to turn up in the shot, you know, after they say that line kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was really, really cute, and it made me put me on the side of octopuses really heavily.
Nice. I might have to give it another go as well.
Yeah. You can close your eyes, you can put your hand over the screen.
Just listen to the audio,
Yeah, there's no octopus sounds, don't worry.
Yeah.
hard to record, I'm sure. And any other things while we've got you here that you could chat to us about or share about being involved in environmentalism in the city or learning about marine biology and things like that?
I think for me, I mean, coming as a stranger, you could say, completely didn't know anyone in Dunedin, only had like relatives or friends of relatives who were here like decades ago.
Yeah.
So one of the ways that I kind of got to know all these amazing people and students was just getting out there and helping out, you know, even just going and doing a little planting a tree. There's right now at Smales, there's a project going on, which is Habitat for Sea Lions.
Cool.
People can go and plant trees. Like, mm-hmm. it's just a great way to meet people and be out there in nature. So I would always encourage that.
Yeah.
It's the way to find friends for life. And
Yeah. Cool. Amazing. Well, it's been a real pleasure to have you on. It's an exciting thing to chat about in the morning. and I really hope the chat goes well. And it sounds like a really, really awesome thing to be involved with.
Thanks so much for having me.
No worries. Ka kite. We're going to roll on to some Amamelia here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi's breakfast show. And I hope you enjoyed that wee chat with Hannah there about some sea lions. And you can go along to the chat tonight too. I'll keep repeating that throughout the show as well, so you can remember all the details and goodies. And remember to think about the wildlife in and around you, because it's pretty awesome how much we can live symbiotically with them.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.